Hey everybody, time once again for my Tomes of Terror book review series. So several weeks back, maybe it was a month, I can't really remember exactly, I was contacted through email by an independent author named Christina Mirzoy. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. If I'm not, I apologize. But she contacted me and asked if I would review her book, The Headsman, which actually came out, it was published in January of 2022, I think, and it was also available to read for free on Kindle Unlimited, which is really good service, and I use it a lot for these book reviews. So I started doing a little bit of background research into Christina Mirzoy, and that led me to discover some kind of like interesting things about her. She's actually a very new, emerging writer. She's a young Romanian woman who actually speaks four languages, but mainly, at least so far, reads and writes in English, not only because I was reading an interview with her and she said that she finds it's what she calls English's rich vocabulary, more suitable to expressing herself, like, what, you know, the stories she wants to write, but also she said because a lot of her favorite authors, such as Ray Bradbury, are American or British, so she read a lot of that American or British, like, fantasy, like, growing up. So she's very, very influenced by dark fantasy, Greek mythology, gothic literature, weird fiction, and fairy tales, probably most prominently. All of those elements are very, very readily apparent in her book, The Headsman. Now, the book only clocks in at a little over 40 pages, I think 41 pages, 42 pages, somewhere around there. But I have to say that it actually really does pack a lot of this just really creepy, like, uncanny kind of atmosphere and a lot of real chilling, like, intrigue into a very small space. And I will also say that this is definitely a story you'll want to read through a few times to kind of catch all the intricate details that are interwoven in there. In form, it's not really a novel necessarily, nor is it a short story. It reads something like a collection of short stories, but they're all interrelated. And each story or chapter, I guess, if you want to call it that, is told from the perspective of a different character. So the action takes place in true Grimm's fairy tale fashion in some sort of quasi-mystical, perhaps medieval village, in no concrete time or place. The first story, which is told from the point of view of the headsman, in other words, the village's executioner, is called The Witch, and it describes sort of like the headsman's infatuation with the beautiful wife of the duke, you know, of the village, and this headsman is eventually called on to execute her after she is accused of witchcraft. So from here on out, each story kind of fills in more and more particulars about this village and its people. And with each kind of like shift in viewpoint, and sometimes in time frame, because I think it does kind of like go back in time sometimes as one of the characters is like talking about something that happened in their past, you get kind of like further and further drawn into this kind of grim web of deceit and betrayal and kind of like all these complicated things going on, like, among all of the townsfolk. Now, none of the characters are ever named. They're only ever referred to by their, I guess, their station in life. For example, the flower girl, the young fool, the merchant, the big man, the duke, the mother, the maid, the servant boy, and the martyr. There's also, as far as I can recall, no dialogue. Everything is laid out in a very matter-of-fact, very elegant prose, much like, as I mentioned, a fairy tale, or like kind of sort of like an unsettling legend or series of legends kind of told around a campfire type of tone to it. Now, the pretty genius thing about the way the book is presented is that while each story or story fragment, whatever you want to call it, is quite beautiful and really evocative and very magically spooky, like all on its own, each successive story actually builds on the last one. So what you learned about you know, for example, what you learned about the woman selling flowers in the first tale, which was told from the headsman's perspective. The next one is actually told from her perspective, and she goes back in time and tells a little bit about that. So everything you thought you knew about her from the first story that was from the headsman's perspective is sort of like upended and recontextualized by the next story. So it kind of goes on like that, where it's like things are set up, like one person's perspective is said, and then you kind of get it, come at it from a different angle and like see it from, you know, maybe the person who was the victim in this, or maybe like another person that was involved that knows some information that this person didn't know and stuff like that. So you also learn, for example, again, how the Duke's wife, the supposed witch, ended up in her predicament, like how she ended up getting executed, and all the other kind of subterfuge and knavery and all this kind of stuff that's going on behind the scenes of this kind of, I'm not gonna lie, like this very mean and like vindictive little village. And I will say too that despite the book's brief runtime, I know that's usually just made for movies, but it applies here as well, the language that she uses is so concise and like so descriptive that it kind of feels as though there's just whole oceans of implication and emotion and stuff like going on behind the pages. You know what I mean? It really is evocative of a much larger world, even though it's like very, very short. Almost kind of like a long form prose poem. I think like the prose is very straightforward. It's not, but it is very, like I said, she's just very good with language and of kind of implying like a much larger world beyond the words. And not a single word in this goes to waste. And if you're paying attention, and like I said, this is probably why you want to read it through a few times. I actually read it through a couple times for this review. You will start to notice like all this, an entire wealth of like little clues and reveals and all these interlinked details between the stories and kind of like foreshadowing of later events that are sort of like flitting around like behind, you know, behind the lines of text in there. And it's just really, really great, like the way everything is just so intricately like locked together. But a lot of times you really have to kind of like read it just to kind of appreciate how, like I said, how deeply connected like all of these people's stories are. And a lot of stuff, like I said, is implication, like some things that you're kind of like suggested in this story, like you don't really figure out how that pans out until later on. And then you're like, oh my gosh, that goes back to that story, like that guy and everything like that. So that's like really, really cool. Now, I realize that this review is a little bit shorter than what I would normally do, but the book itself is so short that I'm kind of hesitant to say any more about it, because I think that if you're going to come to this, you should kind of experience it for yourself without really knowing. Because like I said, I don't really have any preconceptions. I actually didn't even know that it was that short or that it was constructed in that way. So it was kind of like a nice surprise. So, you know, even though I read it for the first time in less than an hour, you know, because like I said, it's only about 40 pages, it's actually sort of lingered in my mind since then. Almost like this kind of creepy but still like alluring nightmare that you can't shake, you know what I mean? It's that kind of, you know, it just kind of sticks with you in that way, just the whole, I don't know, just the whole aesthetic, the whole mood of it. I read an interview with Christina Mirzoy in Cemetery Dance, and she actually stated that at the moment she's working on another English language fantasy novella based around a particular fairy tale, like a reimagining of a particular fairy tale. And I have to say that, you know, just going by this, I'm really excited to see, you know, to read more from her. She has a very singular voice, and she has, you know, a really like majestic command of the English language and kind of putting across a mood. She's just really, really good at that, at doing that in a really spare, you know, way where she doesn't need like a whole bunch of flowery language, because all of her words, you know, kind of suggest a lot of other things. You know what I mean? She's just almost like a poet in that way. So I definitely think that she's going to be a person to watch in the dark fiction sphere in many years to come. So if you have Kindle Unlimited, like I said, it's very short. It's only 40 pages. It'll probably take you, could probably read it in an afternoon easily. And it's really, if you're really into fairy tales or mythological type tales, things like that, then you will probably really dig this. I just really liked the whole the whole mood that it gave me, the whole vibe. It's just really, really good, and I would really, like, recommend checking it out. So, as I said, sorry, this one's a little bit short, but, you know, that's kind of, the book was short, and I didn't really want to spoil a lot of the stuff, because a lot of the fun of this one, I think, is discovering, like, all of the connections between all the stories and all the characters, and I don't really want to ruin that for anybody. So, that will do it for this Tomes of Terror, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye!